You heard Deb just give this greeting. These things we do in worship again and again in our Lutheran church are straight out of Scripture. And so I say to you, grace to you and peace from God our Father, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, who is at work among us this day. Amen. Do you remember these moments? How many of you watched the MASH one live? It's still the single largest TV episode ever watched. It's a crazy thing to think that outside of sporting events, that's still the one. These are the endings, some of the most famous in TV, right? And endings as a whole, they typically work or fail as how, for us, they wrap up and connect to the rest of the story. One of my favorites was Ted Lasso, and I'm actually a little hurt that they're bringing him back. I'm excited about it, but also they ended it so well, I'm not quite sure how they're going to unravel it. And so I'm worried. That's why he's not up there, because he's not technically done yet. But you remember the Seinfeld episode and how everybody was upset? What was that? This kind of, it didn't connect in, they went backward through the episode, and it just seemed this strange thing, and it left everybody pretty dissatisfied. I mean, it was in the newspaper in my hometown. Or The Sopranos, that ambiguity that happened, the screen just went black, and we didn't get a final answer. Remember that moment? For me, I thought the satisfaction of moving on in Friends was pretty nice. Monica and Chandler, they moved to the suburbs, and Ross and Rachel, they came back together there at the end. And so there was a good wrapping of those themes and stories that had gone on. And then, of course, in MASH, we watched all of our friends load up and take one final flight out of the camp in Korea. These endings in our lives, they work, again, when they connect into the story and they resonate with us in a way that helps us to find closure. Believe it or not, the Gospels work in a similar way. You get to, at the end of Mark, this hurried ending. You kind of drop off a cliff, which is appropriate for a person who was doing everything to get to the cross. The cross remained central in Mark's ending. Yes, Jesus was resurrected, but there were no resurrection appearances to linger on. Instead, there was just the fear and the women saying nothing, because for Mark, the thing that he wanted you to leave with, to remember, was Christ and him crucified. And so you get this wonderful moment of the women leaving that makes you go, wait a second, who's going to tell them? And of course, then the story has to go. In John, the original ending is, well, all of these things were written, so many of them, they'd fill volumes and volumes so that you might believe. But then there was the Peter problem, and so the ending there becomes, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And it goes back and it brings Peter, who's such a significant portion of the story, to closure and allows for the church to move forward. In Luke, the gospel continues into Acts, and so the ending of it is a bit ambiguous, but it is the ascension of Jesus. And if you remember in the beginning of the book of Acts, as Luke tells it, what he had happened there was angels come and join the disciples and say, why are you looking to heaven? You've got work to do. And so the ending there, in fact, drives them forward to continue the mission and the ministry of the person of Jesus. And then you have the ending that we read today, Matthew 28, which has all of these tie-ins. We've called it the Great Commission, and we've used it for this impetus to evangelize, to baptize, to make disciples of all nations. We are to spread the gospel. But it functions really beautifully in wrapping the entirety. And so what I want to do is just look at those little pieces as they hold together the whole of the Gospel of Matthew. Oh, together, this is what they all do. Each one of these endings, they work to equip the church to continue the life and the ministry of Jesus. This is how Matthew does it. See, he's on a mountain, a liminal space, a thin space, the Celts would often call it. In the Gospel of Matthew, that's where you went to encounter God, which is also where you went throughout the entirety of Scripture. Remember the stories of Moses and others going again and again to the mountaintops, Jesus himself, to pray and to draw close to God. And so the 11 disciples, they are on the mount in Galilee. And there, all authority on heaven and earth is given to Jesus. This is interesting because it, in that liminal space, reminds us in this little thin space that we walk every day on the creation that God gifted us. And in this person of Jesus, Genesis is restored. This is what it means for God to look and say, it is good. To look at the person of Jesus and the way that he walked on this earth and gave himself for all of us. He then was given that authority of the Creator. It comes from the book of Daniel and this end times notion that he is the Son of Man. And from that, he then transfers that authority, that little red guy there, right, speaking to him. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and now I give it to you. It's a passing of the baton, the torch, the responsibility for the living out of this faith in Jesus. And then it comes to, what does it mean that we are to baptize and to make disciples and to teach people everything that Jesus has commanded? It means, yes, that we go back to Matthew chapter 3 and the washing of Jesus that came from John. Remember, that baptism is a baptism that is to separate the sheep from the goats. It is a baptism of judgment. And the baptism that Jesus promised is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we walk in that baptism. Yes, that's a good interpretation. But I'm really curious about all that I have commanded you. What was it that Jesus commanded in the Gospel of Matthew? It's two parts, pretty simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. The rabbis, they typically said if you use the Ten Commandments, they're shorthand for the other 603 commandments of the Hebrew Bible. And Jesus said to you, you don't even need the 10. You just need 2. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. At the end of the gospel, all of the 3 years of walking with Jesus throughout his ministry, exploring Galilee and Judea, encountering the risen Christ again and again, and all his authority given to him as the Son of Man, what Jesus came to with his disciples, thinking that they needed to be able to carry the mission and ministry that he had given them, was those two simple things. If you do these things and teach them to others, you'll be okay. Even those of you who doubt, I love that little phrase in the end of it, but some of them doubted. You, beloved children of God, if you can cling to God, he who created the heavens and earth and gave authority to the one you've walked with, and if you can put your arms around one another without bounds, you'll be okay. Because I will be with you. Always. To the end of the age. Amen.